You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We are The Real Short Box, produced by Rumble Spoon Productions here at the WCBH Studios in the lovely Chatsworth, California. I am here with, of course, Shant, the sensational one.
That's right.
I'm here with Showtime.
What's happening?
And I'm here with Big Sal.
Yeah.
And of course, again, I'm Donald, so thank you all for being a part of this lovely broadcast here at WBCH Studios. So let's get started. Topic today is pretty on point, I think, for how the comic industry got saved in 2024. And that would be ultimately, absolutely, reimagining the comic book universe.
Excuse me, I thought only Sith deal in absolutelys.
No, there's grays, I think.
Absolutely.
The grays, too. The grays, right? Gandalf and the rest.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of old wizards.
Who do you think would win, Gandalf versus Darth Vader? Who do you got?
Gandalf.
Hootie.
Huh?
Hootie wins.
Hootie?
Yeah.
Hootie and the Blowfish?
Yeah.
Hootie. Well, only want to be with you, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, all I have to do is play that music and they both be like, they've solved their problems together.
Yeah? Right.
Now, which Gandalf is fighting Vader? Is Gandalf gray?
No. Well,
Gandalf the white.
I prefer the gray.
Well, the white was stronger, right? Mm-hmm. But the gray was a little more grittier. He was down to take somebody out.
Yeah.
The gray didn't let people pass.
You know, it's fucking true.
He took down the Balrog.
But you know what's funny about that? Like, if you take that scenario as a D&D, he literally told all of his friends to run away to kill the Balrog, and he come back as a higher level wizard.
Look, Gandalf by far was Donald Trump with the wall, and the Balrog was a bunch of Mexicans trying to get over.
That's
and
crazy.
He was like, you shall not pass. Uh-huh.
I don't think Mexicans use whips.
Oh, bro, come on, the rodeo? What are you, fucking retarded?
Oh, I don't think we can say that.
I don't know about
that. Okay, are you retired?
Retired? No.
There you go. Yeah, a little retired.
But don't they have like braceros?
Bruschetta?
I don't know.
Barrera. They use the whips in the
barrera.
What do we call it? The
can't roll your R's.
Rodeos.
Barrera.
Rodeos are everywhere. Right? Like
yeah, but
that's
particularly Mexico City.
Yeah. Sure.
Hmm.
I mean, the one thing I saw in Mexico that I remember that my uncle took me was
food.
I was going to say sandwiches.
Carne asada. Hey, whatever. Like,
and I had everybody the greatest torta in the world.
What was her name?
A bomb ass torta in Mexico for sure. The ingredients out there are better than over here in the United States.
It's the same ingredients, fool.
It's not the same.
It's 100%. The difference between the difference is that they don't cook it in the bullshit they cook here. There, it's just lard. And the grill, right? That's it. No fancy avocado oil, none of that bullshit. It's just the grill and some fucking lard.
I love avocado oil. It's so good.
But I'm saying, that's why it's different. It's just not, like, nothing's fancy.
Grapeseed oil. Great for your eyes.
Really?
High smoke point.
You're right. Yeah. Well done.
What's great for your belly?
What's great for your belly?
Mm-hmm.
Nice warm bowl of soup.
Sopa?
Yeah.
Menudo?
Yeah.
The menudo.
With tripa?
No.
Yeah. You don't like tripa?
No.
What about sesos?
It is.
He's more of a...
All right. We've bored the shit out of you guys trying to listen to us talk about comic books. Half of you have left. Those of you who have stuck with us, thank you so much.
I need this for my Spanish 2 credit.
Oh, well, sorry. Get that next week. Hola. But yeah, we're talking about the Ultimate Universe and the Absolute Universe. Ultimate Spider-Man kicked off 2024, pretty much. More or less.
Yeah, late 23, but mostly
right.
24.
Yeah, and made Marvel a fuck ton of money. And then they brought out Ultimate Black Panther, then they brought out the Ultimates, or Ultimate X-Men, then the Ultimates, and then now Ultimate Wolverine.
Right, but the real kickers is it really a good read, or is everyone just anticipating that hot first appearance. It's the first Ultimate Wolverine. It's the first Ultimate Spider-Man. It's the first Ultimate Panther. Sort of collecting it because they want that big key that's going to be the next big key, which, you know, we haven't had
a little deja vu, yeah.
Yeah, that's about 75% of the people that came in.
Because we haven't had a legitimate big key in a very long time.
That's true.
What's the last big key in the modern age?
Spider-Gwen, maybe?
Spider-Gwen, yeah. Spider-Gwen sounds about right.
Not Miles?
Miles? No, I thought it was
Miles. 12.
I would say Miles when he got the Vibranium suit. That's,
no,
that's not, that's not a first appearance, Jack.
What are you talking about, dude? Are you drunk?
Yeah.
No. I wish.
You're talking about like a character hitting the ground running, like you know, Spider-Gwen or Miles Morales. You know, when did, well, Red Hulk's even wailed in that.
Yeah, Red Hulk's.
What about Spider-Boy?
Spider-Boy's the newest big one in terms of modern books, right? Spider-Boy's the big
one. Did they not come out with Spider-Girl as well?
They did, but it was like a lukewarm.
It's like response. It's like in DC. Punchline was a new big one for DC, but it didn't.
It didn't land like they thought it would.
No. She wasn't Harley Quinn.
Yeah, she's no Harley.
Yeah.
But that said, it took a while for Harley to get her feet too, in comic books at least.
Right. Mm-hmm. In comic books, absolutely.
Which, so you look at
speaking
it,
of absolutely.
Yeah. Now, absolutes, absolute, kind of the same.
Yeah.
But a little different in the fact that, you know, Batman's been doing, you know, different origin stories and different stories for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute Batman, the reason why this book's so big is not just because of the new storyline, and but it's also who's writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little more, Absolute Batman was a little more where who's writing the book and then the character. And then Superman was just okay. And then they really did really well when they did Absolute Wonder Woman. I think I'm a huge Batman fan. That's my favorite. But I think the Wonder Woman has been written really, really well.
Yeah. And I was really surprised when I was like, I read the first issue and I was like, this is like, you know, a brutal version of
Wonder Woman. Who's writing the Wonder Woman? Anyone else?
Kelly Thompson.
It's a really good job. It's a really good read. Mm-hmm. Now, we're still waiting for Absolute Green Lantern. Absolutely, Martian Manhunter.
Yeah. Oh, they announced Martian Manhunter?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Absolutely.
I believe the Flash is supposed to be the next one.
Yeah, Flash is the next one.
I think the Flash and the Green Lantern are going to tank. That's just me saying I think they tank.
Mm-hmm. Well, because the Green Lantern's supposed to be, what's her name? Right? From the Far Sector.
The Martian Manhunter, I'm really interested in reading.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a good character.
Great character. Yeah. I think they ought to bring back Bloodwing. For those of you that don't know, Martian Manhunter went in disguise as another superhero and called himself Bloodwing and fought with the Justice League of America for a while.
Yeah, but that's
kind of a weird thing.
It's kind of weird that he decided to go black.
Why did he do that anyway? Did we ever get an explanation for that? Because I don't know it.
I don't know either.
Cool if they did it. When they do Absolute Martian Manhunter, if he shows up as Bloodwing, I'm going to just jerk off right there.
No, would you be interested in
probably on the book?
Like an absolute Joker?
Sorry, sir. I would save that for like down the line, maybe. Joker books for me.
If it's not connected
just
to the regular Batman book, probably just because
I just don't
it
want.
It seems like a
Joker's like Lex Luthor to me at this point. Like he's just too much all the time,
But I can appreciate a solo a Joker story if it's good.
Right.
It's not tied directly into something related to Batman.
What can you do? What else can you do absolute on the DC?
Oh my God, there's so many.
You can still do, obviously, a Justice League.
Yeah, but they already said that. They already said that's the end. They're going to do all the single characters first and then eventually tie them into. So who was in the Justice League? You had Wonder Woman, Batman, Flash.
I think what would be interesting is if they decide to go horror direction and one of them and do absolute Swamp Thing. In like a straight up,
yeah. But was he part
80s style?
Was he part of the Justice League?
No, but
that's where this is going. So they already said it. This is where it's going. Mm-hmm. They're going to tie it in and have an absolute
Justice League. Dark.
Justice League.
Yeah,
right?
He was in Justice League Dark. That's right.
So are they going to do with the Shazam then?
Well, their plan is to go is
Ultimate
to get to
Shazam.
To get to absolute Justice League. So to get there,
we're getting an Ultimate Aquaman.
No, absolute Aquaman.
Or, I mean, absolute Aquaman. Yeah, yeah. That'd be weird.
I don't know if it's a necessary. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, this thing could falter after three launches, right?
True.
Well,
I mean, the one thing that both these things are doing is they're following the same playbook as the prior incarnations, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Ultimate Spider-Man and X-Men that's now, it's following the same direction that the Ultimate Spider-Man and X-Men did back in 99, 2000. The Ultimate Batman, remember that one with I'm the Goddamn Batman? It had a huge, the Absolute Batman with Frank Miller and Jim Lee. He was like, I'm the Goddamn Batman.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's following that. It feels like it's following that same kind of arc.
Well, things tend to repeat themselves.
But it's also, like I said, it always comes down to who writes it.
Yeah, right? True. The quality of the writer, 100%.
You know, Snyder writes Batman, right? So he at some point can get to like the, you know, 20th issue and just be like, eh, I'm done with it, right? And then the guy who takes over isn't very good, who knows, and then it just falls, right? He could write it forever. He could write, because from what I hear, they've already written 30 issues.
Damn.
Right? And one of them could get better. And they could, like, you know, like, for instance, Ultimate Black Panther, right? The first issue everyone wanted. Now, we don't sell that many, right? Because people are like, eh, it's not a good read. So maybe those books kind of fall away. And the ones like Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate X-Men, maybe Ultimate Wolverine, they continue on because people keep buying it, right? So in the absolute market, maybe Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman keep moving on, but The Flash and, you know, and the Green Lantern don't kick off. So you write them for a certain point to get to the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you don't include all the characters there because they just weren't, they're better accompanied in another world versus being their own book. Like, you know, you get to like...
We might get Absolute Cyborg.
But Cyborg might, they might make a book where it's Absolute Cyborg and... somebody or something, you know?
True.
Absolute team up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go. Absolute team up. That'd be great. Because then you could do two characters.
Like that. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, DC special. The Absolutes.
Yeah.
That's what they should call the Justice League in there. Mm-hmm. The Absolutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, remember back in the 2000s, they had Ultimate Team Up, right? So they could just bring that back.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Well, what do you guys think of the redesign of each character so far in the Absolutes? Do you guys like it? Do you guys not like it?
Well, I think at some point, like, Donald doesn't like the shield. I mean, the axe.
The stupid axe on his chest.
This axe is dope.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
Dude, that was really cool. I don't know why you don't like it.
Because it's just not functional. It's just stupid. It's something a 10-year-old would do.
So you have an engineering degree?
Yeah, a 10-year-old would do it. They would write that in and be like, it'd be so cool if he pulled an axe off his chest. What?
Sal, they don't have that in any real life, so he doesn't need an engineer.
Here's a guy who likes the polka dot man who shoots polka dots off his body. Come on.
The polka dot man was pretty dope, though.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, those of you that are listening, if you also enjoyed the polka dot man, speak up.
Yeah, we would like to interview.
You know what they won't ever make?
Yeah.
You know they won't ever
almost
make?
Could.
There will never be an absolute... you know, the character that Donald likes a lot. They'll never make that fucking
there
book.
Will be an absolute Blue Beetle at some point, I'm sure. What are you laughing about?
They'll gender swap them, though.
The fuck up. There ain't going to be no ultimate Predator or ultimate aliens
whatever,
or nothing.
But they're making Predator versus Marvel, though. And everybody wants the new Predator versus Spider-Man that's coming out.
Everybody wants
because it. Because of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Not because of Predator.
It doesn't matter.
But my thing with the characters is you have to change them up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you don't want... because. If you're going to make an absolute book where the characters are 100% the same costumes, everything else, then you just make it as like a story arc along the same Batman story arc, right? Mm-hmm.
That's true.
If you're going to make it an absolute book, then it's going to be different. But if you want to keep it under the same Batman run, then you just make an arc that's called it was All In, right? The All In arc, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we're in right now. So you just call it All In, and then you don't make an absolute, and you keep the characters 100% the same. But then you don't get to draw in people who, because there's people out there who are not Batman fans, right? For whatever reason. He's rich. He's a guy. Oh, come on. He's been rich for all this. Now he's not rich. You know, Alfred's no longer his butler. It's a whole different story. That brings more people in. And then they stay to read, they read book reads well. They stay with a new character. And then that becomes their Batman going forward, right? Where I have my Batman, the one I was a kid, but now there's new Batman for the new kids that are coming out. And maybe when we get to like the Green Lantern, right? It's a female, not a male, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that might change it, right? Wonder Woman is no longer, you know, goody two shoe Wonder Woman. She's from hell. The difference is bring people in like me. They should have made an absolute Superman where he was like Red Sun Superman, where he was not 100% good.
Like he was torn between the two or whatever. Then I might want to read it more. So changing the character, I think, helps bring in fans that weren't fans of that first book or whatever.
Yeah. I'm kind of interested in like, in the, if they would bring in like the Court of Owls, but they're not called the Court of Owls and the Absolute Batman, and they're just something else. Like that would be.
Well, I don't know. They're probably going to do something again with the Court of Owls because there's talks that that's going to be the next
movie
thing with the movie.
Plus, that's his creation too. So
true, very true.
Just imagine if you took the Ra's al Ghul, right? Mm-hmm. And Ra's al Ghul was Batman's enemy, right? Well, he trained Batman, but then was his enemy, right? You know, League of Shadows. What if in Absolute Batman, Ra's al Ghul was his partner, and the League of Shadows was Batman's people? And they helped him clean up the city their way. Would be a big change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's Batman with, well, there was no Ra's al Ghul. Batman was the leader of League of Shadows. He was the guy in charge. He's basically Ra's al Ghul in a sense. And he ran the League of Shadows that could basically take all the stuff he wanted away that the law couldn't do, right?
Yeah.
Remember that one storyline? I think it was called Going Sane.
Yes, with Joker.
Yeah. And the Joker went normal, I think it was. And that, was that due to the Lazarus pits, if I recall, or something?
I don't know what the impetus was, but I do remember that there was a Legends of the Dark Knight
story. I think it was the Lazarus pits, because you know how it makes Ra's al Ghul temporarily insane when he goes in. But for the Joker, it made him temporarily sane instead of insane, which is kind of cool. Think about it.
Is that the one where he thought that Batman was dead and he got like a regular job?
No, that's a different story. That's the White Knight or Stroke. Yeah, that one.
But think about this. Just think about this. Batman is the guy who runs the League of Shadows. And then Ra's al Ghul ends up being the commissioner of Gotham.
Ooh, that's a good twist. No, I'm serious because
Clayface is the train.
Matt.
He's the cat bus.
So that's why I think for me, a change was pretty good.
Yeah. Like, especially the ending of the first
episode.
You could hate all you want.
You know what? I bet he's got a stool built into his ass.
You know what?
I need to sit down. Oh, thank God. I got a stool built into my ass.
Doesn't even matter because Batman will beat the shit out of the Blue Beetle.
For my bat buns. Bullshit.
Easy. So easy.
You know what? He's right up there with him.
So easy. No.
He is the second greatest detective.
You know the
first place loser detective,
and he's smart as fuck.
You know Space Ghost.
Yeah,
he had those two fucking twins that helped him out. That's a Blue Beetle level right there.
Wow, you guys, I think you need to apologize to the world right now. They're very sorry.
Nah,
they know not what they do. So let's say they continue on. Do you think that Marvel or DC is going to go, you know what? This is selling so well. We're gonna scrap our entire universe we got right now. Just go absolute.
No.
You think they've learned from Marvel's almost biggest mistake they ever made?
I think at some point Snyder's gonna walk.
He said he's already written 55 issues or something.
33.
Okay.
But I think he walks. I think at some point he walks because he's one something else. I think at some point he walks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when he walks, that title dies.
Mm-hmm.
But the same with the Ultimates. I think the Ultimates being spearheaded by Hickman.
Mm-hmm.
So who's writing? I think he's writing Ultimate. No, he's not writing Ultimates, but he's writing Spider-Man, the Ultimate Spider-Man. And he took over for Donny Cates, mm-hmm. who was supposed to be the spearhead for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Donny Cates has been having some
mental issues.
Yeah, physical issues.
A little bit of both, I guess. Combination.
Right. So. I imagine, just like with the X-Men, once he leaves, the thing kind of peters out and just kind of chugs along for a little bit before they just scrap it and restart again.
Yeah.
Remember last year? Was it last year towards, like, right around November? The DC titles all stopped, and they started writing that one, the tie-in.
All In or whatever?
It wasn't All In.
Absolutes, the Absolute Power or whatever I think it was, right?
No, it was a Halloween one. What was the Halloween one?
Terror, Night Terrors or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that was in the summer of, 2 years ago, I think.
The Night Terrors at the end, so they gave all the guys a break from writing their books, which is kind of dumb. We're going to give you a break from writing Batman, but you're going to write Night Terror, right? And then it's going to be tied into all the books, so everyone writes Night Terror. To me, that's what they should have done with Absolutes, is that
at some point, the Batman run ended for the year, right? As the writers got together and did a thing. And then Snyder could write Absolute Batman, and we can bring in Absolute Wonder Woman and so on. And they wrote those for like 3 months, right? The last 3 months of the year. And then start January, that series kind of ends and you go right back to your regular main titles.
Does anybody still read Saga?
No.
No.
I'm wondering, you know how they took a break, like a long break.
5 years, I
think. Yeah. How did it come back any good? Because it was languishing real hard there near the end. And I was kind of hoping that they would figure out that they shouldn't be writing it.
I think the writer left. I think the original writer left. And that's
Brian Cave on?
No, he's still on it. Yeah. Him and Fiona Staples are still
on it. No. What I'm saying is the reason why it stopped was because he stopped writing it.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted a break. He purposely took a break.
Yeah. But that was a super long break. But there is something to be said about kind of caching your stories a little bit and catching up and maybe going back and improving things and stuff. And so you have time. But there's also another thing to be said for somebody that's idle for too long. That momentum's gone. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at in any series, Batman, Spider-Man, all the series, you have story arcs, right? And that's what makes people say, well, Spider-Man's at issue, 520. How do I come in right now? You just wait for the arc to end. So you just look at the previous magazine. It tells you when that story arc, the new one's going to begin. And you jump in on the new story arc. And the new story arc, usually, sometimes it's the same writer. The new story arc could be a new writer with a new, fresh take on Spider-Man or Batman, whoever. And sometimes a new artist.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, the writer is who chooses the artist he wants, and then so on and so forth. So I think that's what makes comics fresh, is the new story arcs that come about, and then you have a new writer, or an old writer can basically start brand new. Maybe at the end he started to write something that just wasn't going well. So by ending the story arc and beginning a new one, it allows him to kind of like erase the chalkboard and start all over again, right? And I think sometimes, a la Nick Spencer on Spider-Man, you get a guy like that who couldn't write himself out of a box and just ruins the Spider-Man run, per my saying. Like, there's some people that might really like Nick Spencer, but I didn't think it was a very good read.
Morning Glories, right?
Yes.
Great writer for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And he gets to the end.
Superior foes, too.
And then someone takes over, and then, it's a better read. And sometimes you get what you wanted. Sometimes your title gets your favorite writer and your favorite artist on your title, and you're the first one of the store to buy that book. You're like, I finally got it. I finally got Blue Beetle, Ted Kord, mm-hmm. written by the writer I like the most and the artist I prefer the most. What for Donald, who can beat that, right?
Tom mm-hmm. Taylor writing Blue Beetle, Ted Kord.
What if they made the Blue Beetle evil?
I'm down. I mean, do something different with him. That's okay. Mm-hmm. I did that. I don't know if you guys know this, but I created a web series called The Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns. It's on YouTube under Rumble Spoon Productions.
You've never mentioned there. That before to us.
Oh, at all. Okay. Glad I did now. Anyway, so in that one, Eclipso possessed him and he turned evil. And it was in the last episode of season 4, which is the finale.
Was he, or was it supposed to be Booster Gold that was supposed to be the big reveal of the villain back in that 90s crossover I think it was called Eclipso back then or something like that.
Eclipso the Darkness Within or something?
Yeah, something like that. There's like a big crossover.
Mm-hmm.
The reveal was supposed to be, Armageddon 2000 or something like that. And it was supposed to reveal.
With Wave Rider or whatever his name was.
Something like that, yeah. And it was supposed to reveal this big reveal and they got spoiled ahead of time and they had to scramble to change it to some other really unsatisfying ending.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you think about them starting like an absolute, like, the villain arc, like Dr. Freeze or
Ultimate Doom? Absolute Freeze.
Are you enjoying the New Gods right now?
I'd be down for like an absolute Suicide Squad. I love the New Gods right now. What are you kidding me?
No,
New Gods is probably the best thing DC's putting out right now.
Dude.
I'd like to read a book that was just called The League of Shadows, right?
Mm-hmm. We can't get through one podcast without him going League of Shadows.
or even what's the Bad Lantern? It's the Black Lantern.
Sinister.
Yeah.
Oh.
What color is the bad? It's the
Black Lantern. Yeah.
Is it the black Or is it the red?
Well, the red's for rage. Black is death. It's it's
so. Just imagine
yellow too.
Just imagine that that there's no, there are no Green Lanterns other than the Black Lantern. No lanterns other than the Black Lantern, right? And he's pretty much taken over the world for. And you let. But my thing is, they never can do that. They never let the villains have a series complete.
Mm-hmm.
They go maybe one or two issues, and then the good guy comes in, and then boom, it's done. Why can't you have, Black Suit Spider-Man, not Venom, Black Suit Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
takes over Spider-Man, right? And he does everything vengeful, right? For the whole, 10-15 book run, right?
We had a very clever, similar situation with Superior Spider-Man, where Doc Ock was in Spider-Man's body. The only difference is that they just milked the shit out of it.
Too far.
I mean, way too far. I think we were like almost 2 years in, and I was like, you know what?
Well, the difference is,
I don't want to afford this anymore.
The difference is that Doc Ock in Superior is trying to do good.
True.
The villain in what Showtime's trying to talk about is mm-hmm. just being bad. He's not mm-hmm. trying to be good.
What's that? There was that Spider-Man book. It was a 4-book issue not too long ago.
Black Suit and Blood.
The What If one.
No, but it's a red cover. He was in a black suit. He was totally bad. Through all 4 issues, he was just a shitty person.
Yeah, it's the What If one where he didn't get rid of the suit.
Right. And he kept the suit, and he's a shitty person, and it was a great read, but I don't think he could have gone past maybe 8 issues. At some point, you got to have some flexibility in there, like to change back to good, and then the suit finds him or finds Eddie Brock or someone else. You just can't. That's why I believe, for me, I don't like to read Superman, because it's just too good. And I'm not talking about a good read or good write. It's just that he's never going to not win.
Yeah.
I mean, Donald's a big Superman fan. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but every time I read it, it just seems like I'm reading a Sunday school special.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on the Superman writer, the story.
Mark Waid's probably one of the better ones that's written him in a while, right?
Well, Mark Waid's great. I mean, most of the things he writes is pretty solid. I'm going to be honest with you. There isn't many times I've ever went, Mark Waid, what are you fucking doing? You know what I mean? I don't think I've ever done that. To be realistic, I don't think I've ever done that with Mark Waid.
You said that to his face a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I did. That's great.
You said that to him when you offered him a beer, and he said, I'll take a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Pepsi. Like, I see. Diet Pepsi.
Diet Pepsi. And you're like, what the fuck are you thinking?
Yeah. And I said, winners have beers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, sir, I can't drink.
No, off topic a little bit. Do you see the biggest difference that we've had that we've interviewed writers and artists,
mm-hmm.
right? The difference in their demeanor and what they do in the shot, like in the store, right? Artist is, he's constantly drawing, he's thinking of things, he's talking to you. And a writer, when he's answering questions, although true answers, as you ask him in his mind, he's almost writing his answer to
mm-hmm.
you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're almost getting like how he would put it on paper. Or an artist just kind of, duh, because he's an artist, not a writer.
Jeez.
You're derping it up. All you artists.
I mean, if you were here, Sal, for Howard Chaykin, funny fucking guy.
No, I was here.
Hilarious guy.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Yeah, I was not here for
that.
He signed my Civil War with the first appearance of Wolverine and Blade.
You ask him a question, and he just spits it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hilarious, whatever he says. You ask Mark Waid a question, and he gives you a calculated answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, Mr. Shaken was a character.
What's Shaken?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So Julio was like...
he was not amused with that.
No, he was not. It was the funniest shit ever, because he's like, I'm sorry, because... You text Julio, he's like, hey, don't forget to say that.
Right, yeah.
And Julio was like, I'm sorry, one of my workers, Donald, wanted me to say, how's it shaking? And this fool's face was like, I never heard that before, Fucking tell that guy that congratulations, he's the first.
Yeah.
But the funny part about it is I come in halfway through the show, and I'm like, what's shaking? And he laughed. He fucking laughed. It's hilarious.
It's like,
it's the delivery, buddy. It's the delivery.
It wasn't the delivery. It was more like, he's like, another one. Another one.
Like when I met Mark Waid, I said, hey, man, I can't believe you wore that shitty hat in here. He's wearing that Superman. And he was like, I'm out of here. I'm leaving.
No, yeah. I think the highlight of that night is when I reminded Donald, he asked him if Superman would lose to Thor. Turned around right away.
Oh, man.
Oh, Lord.
That made that made my year. JR just in tears. He could beat him. Thor could beat Superman. And I was like, not according to Mark Waid.
Well, that's biased.
Like. Right. It's like bullshit.
Wait. Mark Waid picked Superman or picked Thor?
Superman.
So the hard part of that one is,
there's nothing.
In theory,
mm-hmm.
you have to be the same level of person as Superman in order to do any damage, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can't be hurt by another person. Now, Thor's a god, so I think it'd be a good fight. But what if Thor's hammer was made of kryptonite? Then what? Fuck yourself.
Yeah, he might have some trouble.
Yeah,
you're not wrong.
Dip his hammer and kryptonite. Go, let's go. Couple rounds, son.
So, would you say that Thor is like on the same level as Zeus, since Zeus is in the DC universe with Superman?
Oh man, we're talking like Injustice, right? Kind of like the Gods Among Us type thing.
Sure.
When Zeus came down and fought, Zeus got his ass kicked. By the way,
if you go backwards, who's stronger, Captain Marvel or Thor?
Well, as you know, Zeus fucks. So,
but I'm serious. Who's in terms of comic book wise, who's stronger, Captain Marvel or Thor?
Captain Marvel, technically.
I don't think we've ever had that discussion, but yeah, I would say probably Captain Marvel.
Because Captain Marvel is just cosmic energy. Thor is not.
No, hold on. Sorry. Are we talking about Shazam Captain Marvel or Captain Marvel from Marvel?
I would hope Shazam Captain Marvel.
Yeah, if it's Shazam, yeah, technically he is strong.
So the Black Adam is stronger than Captain Marvel, correct?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I think they're the same. The only difference is that Black Adam is just like, he's like an older, like, you know, more mature person.
He's like a child. The version of
he has more combat experience.
Black Adam's like Eclipso, and Shazam's more like the Spectre. Yeah.
In the Marvel world, Captain Dark Phoenix, in a sense, was stronger than Apocalypse. Correct.
Correct. Yeah.
So she's basically the strongest Marvel character is the Dark Phoenix, right?
Mm-hmm. I could argue that.
Well, the new Phoenix issue that came out, she's actually running away from Thanos. If she's strong, then she wouldn't be running away from Thanos.
Well, does Thanos have the gauntlet? Because
no.
Yeah, same thing.
Thanos needs the gauntlet to be anything.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm thinking if she's the strongest Marvel character, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, in a sense, DC-wise, Superman is the strongest DC character, right?
Well, he's not the strongest. I think there are other characters are strong. It's just that he is, he's relentless in that, you know? I think, if I'm not mistaken, Lobo's stronger than him, right?
Yeah.
You are mistaken.
What?
Okay. So if we're talking about survival, yes, Lobo can out-survive Superman, 100%.
Can Lobo kill Superman? That's the question.
I mean, it'd be like the way Doomsday did.
Yeah.
Which is knocking him. They both knock the shit out of each other.
Right.
But the point being, what I'm trying to say is that Superman is, while he is super powerful, the thing that keeps him around is that, you know, he doesn't go down as easily. He's not like
right,
he's going to.
But I'm saying Superman and Phoenix, and maybe I'm wrong, both gather their main power from the sun.
I don't know about Phoenix, but Superman, yes.
Yeah, it's a good question with Phoenix, but no, I think maybe, that's more cosmic energy.
Yeah, I think she's
more like
she's
Silver Surfer. I would argue that Silver Surfer might be the strongest character in the Marvel universe.
His power comes from Galactus.
He is power.
No, he's power. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
He was created by Galactus.
Right. There's no power that he comes. Okay, he just
he
is.
He has no source of power.
So super off topic.
Mm-hmm.
At what point did what was this? It was something rad. What's his name? Right?
Nord Rad.
At what point did Nord Rad become the Silver Surfer?
When Galactus transformed him.
Right. Yeah. So he was. So prior to Galactus making him, what do you call it?
Silver Surfer. A herald.
A herald. Before he made him a herald, right? He was just a normal man.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. He was on his planet, and Galactus was.
No, I know that. I'm. It's more like a rhetorical question, but I'm saying so. Galactus is more powerful than Silver Surfer because Galactus created Silver Surfer. So he could create another Herald.
He has.
Mm-hmm. Right now, like, he had Thor and he had other Heralds as well. Right. But what I'm saying is it makes him greater because he could at will make Heralds that could be just as strong as Silver Surfer.
Yes, that's true. Galactus is one of the bigger beings, especially, well, when he's fed.
And then where do you put Thanos? This should be our next podcast. Who's stronger? Hmm. Like we can do like a Thanos versus Dormammu.
Dormammu just sounds like a type of taco. I'll take an asada, carnitas, a Dormammu,
Racist.
Oh, come on. It does sound like a kind of taco.
Hey, what do you
want a Dormammu with tripa?
I thought Dormammu was more like, let me get two tacos and a side of Dormammu.
Oh, that's good too. I like that. Yeah.
That sounds like an order from, what is that place over in
Sal, wipe yourself Culver clean, City. Please. Like, you got some Dormammu on your
face. It's like the hot sauce. Like the hot sauce. Hey, man, is that Dormammu hot or not?
I swear.
But okay, so that was off topic. But it'd be good to have a discussion about, you know, characters and like what's their strengths, their weaknesses.
Well, we used to do a what do we call it? It was a superhero smackdown.
Yeah,
I mean, we could always bring that back. I'd love to actually, because we always had so much fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of pitting characters together. And we could make that our next one if you guys want. That's fine by me.
I think one of my favorite matches was Swamp Thing versus Man Thing
through the Hulk.
Yeah,
we did a Swamp Thing versus the Hulk.
And by the way, the Predator and the Terminator and the Alien. Not a superhero can't be on the list.
They could, I guess.
Why wouldn't they?
No.
Yeah, they're villains in their comics.
How do you know?
Just like Batman, not a superhero.
Terminator was kind of a superhero.
And I'm huge. Right? I'm a huge Batman fan, but he's not super.
True.
He's a normal man.
But he's a superhero.
He's a superhero.
But he's considered superhuman.
Right. Well, with that being said, thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. We really appreciate it here at The Real Short Box, courtesy of Rumble Spoon Productions here at the WCBH Studios in the wonderful Chatsworth, California. I want to thank you all. Thank you, Sal, Showtime, Shant. And I want to thank myself, because why not? Who else is going to?
Nobody will.
Anyway, you're not wrong. And I want to thank you all out there in the podcast land for giving us a listen. Give us a like and subscribe if you have yet to do so. Tell your friends about us. That's how we get seen, aka heard. So thanks again. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.